Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. Now, this morning when we close the service out, we're not going to go to the back door and shake hands because we have baptismal service this afternoon at 3:30. And so over at the Victory Baptist Church, and if you're planning on attending that, then we encourage you, don't forget to bring a change of clothes and a towel with you, and we'll have a baptismal there at 3:30. Wasn't going to have choir practice, but I think we'll have choir practice at 5 o'clock. Lord willing, just because a lot of people will be out and there'll be time in between. So rather than a lot of people have to drive distance, we'll just come on back and have choir practice here at 5 o'clock. And so remember that, and a lot of things coming up. So I'm glad that we have folks that are being baptized today. Amen. And so Revelation chapter number 20, I want to read this text and then preach the message that God has laid upon our heart. Look with us in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let's bow for prayer, then you can be seated. Father, I want to thank you for the presence of God we felt in this place this morning. Thank you for the good testimonies. Thank you, dear God, for what you've done for us in the 10 o'clock hour. Lord, I pray now, Lord, the burden of our heart and of our church's heart this week has been that some sinner would walk the aisle and be saved this morning. And I pray, Holy Ghost, even right now, you'll begin to deal with their heart about their need for Christ, their need to be born again in the family of God. Bless the message, do what needs to be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to keep your Bibles open this morning and look with me at this text. I want to mention three things by way of introduction and then give you the thought that God has laid upon our heart. Notice with me in verse number 11. I want you to see the judge in verse number 11. As the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it." And I want us to consider him that sat upon this throne. Think about his chair, his seat that is mentioned. In verse 11, he said, "And I saw a great white throne." Now, when John saw this throne here, he talked about the magnitude of this throne as he said it was great. It's unlike any other throne that has ever been seen by the eyes of men, humanity before, because of the one that sits on it. The greatness of a throne has everything to do with the power of a kingdom and the power of a king. And so the magnitude of this throne that John sees here, this chair, is that it is great. You'll notice also the color of this throne, that it is white. As the Bible talks about this throne being white, it is a picture of the purity of the one that is sitting upon this throne, that he is impeccable and that there is no stain, there is no blot, there is no blemish in his character. And so this throne is white, speaking about the purity. And then the word throne itself speaks about the authority. As John said, "And I saw a great white throne." Amen. When we think about this throne, it is a symbol of all the power and the authority that could ever be given in all of eternity. It is more powerful and more authoritative than any throne that would ever be known in this world or in the world to come. And so the judge upon this throne, we see his chair, and then we see his countenance, as the Bible said, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I want you to think about the face of this judge here. When you consider his face this morning, it is a stern face. It is a very serious face, insomuch that the creation itself, heaven and earth, when they see the face of the one, the countenance of the one that is upon this throne, the judge of all of eternity, the Bible said that heaven and earth fled away and there was found no place for them, meaning there would be no place to run and there would be no place to hide. When
When we consider the judge in verse number 11, we consider his chair, we consider his countenance, we consider his creation as heaven and earth flees away. Amen. Think about the judge. Amen. And then secondly, this morning, I want us to notice in verse 12 and 13, the judged. Amen. Those who are being judged in verse 12 and 13. Notice the size of this crowd. John said, and I saw the dead, small and great. Amen. What that means this morning is that John, when he saw the dead, he saw those who Ephesians 2 and verse 1 said were dead in their trespasses and sins. He saw lost souls, those that never got born again, those that died and went out into eternity without God. And he said, I saw the dead small and great, the size of thee. That's the famous and the infamous. That's the rich and the poor. That's the pretenders, the haters, the liars, the deceivers. That's the heathen. That's the good that were never saved. Amen. That's the religious but lost. That's the wicked and those that cursed his name and took it in vain. That's those that trusted, the self-righteous that believed in themselves. John said, I saw the size of this crowd, small and great. Amen. Talking about the judge this morning. We've seen the judge. We've seen the judge. Notice their summons, as the Bible said. They're standing before God. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's coming a time in eternity, and it's not going to be long, when every one of us that are in this congregation, we are going to stand before God. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You can rest assured, there's coming a judgment day in my life. There's coming a judgment day in your life. And we will stand before Almighty God, just as the Bible says. They've been called to this judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. Notice their statistics, as the Bible says. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. Now think about this. God is keeping a record this morning for every single one of us. Amen. The statistics are in heaven this morning. God knows for the saved and for the lost. He knows every word that we've spoken, every deed that we have done, and their statistics. They're standing before God. They're standing before Jesus Christ, as the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and Jesus Christ is going to judge lost humanity now in this text, and all the books are being opened. This is to determine their place in the lake of fire. Look at verse 12. The Bible said they were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to what? Their works. Look at their surrounding. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, look at this, according to their works. These people in this text, we know they're lost. We know they're not being judged to see if they're going to make it into heaven or whether or not they're going to go to eternity, to the lake of fire. They're already going to the lake of fire. Some of them have already been in hell. As verse 13 said, that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in thee. Hey, there's a crowd in verse 12 that's standing before God at the end of the millennial reign. And then there's another crowd that's already been dead and done been in hell. They already know they're not going to heaven, but now this crowd is standing before God, and they're going to be judged, every man according to their works. Brother Gravely, if they're already going to the lake of fire, why would they be judged according to their works? Because, my friend, their purpose, or their place, should I say, in the lake of fire will be determined by their works here on earth. You see, you may be lost this morning, and if you die without God, you'll go to hell. And I'm telling you, there's coming a day when you'll come out of hell and you'll stand before God, as this text says, at the great white throne judgment, and you'll be judged according to the life you have have lived down here, not for entrance into heaven. You're already lost without God, but it will determine your place in the lake of fire. What I'm telling you is there's a place worse than hell this morning. It's a lake of fire. You say, how do you know that? Look at the next verse, verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now you think about this. There's a place worse than hell. It's a lake of fire, because when you get to verse number 14, here's who's in the lake of fire. You got the false prophet. You got the beast in chapter number 19. You got the devil in chapter 20 who've been cast in the lake of fire. Now you've got death and hell itself. Those both of those places have been cast into the lake of fire. I'm telling you, the lake of fire is far worse than hell itself. And then we come to verse 15, the judgment. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The place and the pain of this judgment. Think about this morning. The people, the Bible says, and whosoever. You know, the word whosoever this morning, we see it in verse number 15 in a different light, don't we? Jesus said, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful for the word whosoever, because it gives a great invitation. Sinner, you hear me this morning. You're lost without God. You need to be saved. You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. But I got good news for you. You don't have to go to hell this morning. Jesus loves you and he died for you. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Amen. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm just a sinner. Would Jesus save me? And while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. I'm going tell you why I know Jesus would save you. Number one, because he saved me. Number two, because the Bible said he'd save us all. And number three, because Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And if he'll die for a sinner, you know he'll save a sinner. Sinner, you can be saved this morning. Here's what I want to preach on a few minutes this morning. Look at verse number 12. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Interesting thought here. Look at this. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, notice this, out of those things which were written in the books. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written, notice this, in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, this morning in Sunday school, it was a time where we reflected back and we kept records. And we talked about information, and we talked about statistics, and we talked about records that have been kept over the last year. And I want to tell you this morning that God is a record keeper. Records reveal progress. It reveals a lack of progress. Records reveal who we are, where we've been, and what we've done. Well, it's no different in our text this morning, because that's exactly what is happening. Heaven keeps a record on every one of us, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. God's got a record, and here in eternity, we see that these books are all open this morning. And I'm interested in two things. I'm interested, number one, in what books were open, and I'm interested in what those things were that were written in the books for lost people. Amen. And I want to preach a few minutes on this subject this morning, on the eternal library at the great white throne judgment. The eternal library at the great white throne judgment. You see, God keeps records this morning. He knows all things. He can remember all things. But God is not keeping records for his memory. He is not keeping records this morning because he would forget, but God is keeping records, my friend, because one day we will stand before God and those record books are going to be open, and we're going to give an account for ourselves. We're going to give an account by ourselves. And my friend, if you're lost this morning, this is the last judgment. It is the judgment of the unsaved. It is a judgment of those that did not make things right with God before they left this world, and the books are all open at the great white throne. You may say this morning, Brother Gravely, what are those books and what are written in them? I want to give them to you this morning. There is one book that is not in these books, I believe personally. It would be the book of remembrance. Malachi 3 and verse 16 said, then they, notice this, that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For them, notice, that feared the Lord. And that thought upon his name, that's not this crowd. I don't believe the book of remembrance is open. Psalms 56, the psalmist spoke about, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Amen. For us that are saved, God has a book of remembrance that will be at the judgment seat of Christ. My friend, it has a remembrance of every tear that ever fall from our eyes, every thought that ever passed through our mind. But this is a judgment for the unsaved. If you're lost without God this morning, very quickly, I want you to note these books that will be opened in God's eternal library at the great white throne judgment. You say, what is it? I would say, first of all, this morning, it would be the book of words. Amen. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hey, this book of words has the content of every idle word that we have ever spoken, both of the saved and the lost. You say, Brother Gravely, I'm saved. You think that book will be at the judgment seat? You know it will. Amen. For us that are saved, but it'll also be there for the unsaved. The book of words, God keeps a record. Amen. Every time they cursed his name, every time they cursed his son, every time they damned his name, every time it ever rolled off their mouth, things that were said in open and things that were said in secret, God keeps a clear record in heaven this morning. I want to tell you this morning, heaven's computer bank, it will not crash, it will not fail. God's got a library, and in that library is the book of words. And sinner, you hear me this morning, you and I will give an account for the things that we have said in this life. Let's stop and say this. If you're a gossiper, get ready. If you've run people down or murmured, you go ahead and mark it down. You might have forgot it, but heaven recorded it. Go ahead and keep on talking about people. Go ahead and keep on running people down. God's got a record of that too. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, the Bible said a spiritual man will be known by the ability to bridle his tongue. Go ahead and say what it might be true, but God's keeping a record of that. You go ahead and talk about somebody else and run it down. Every idle word you're going to give an account of, and I am too one of these things, it'll be there in the day of judgment. Book of words. Then there's a book of conscience. Romans chapter 2 and verse 15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Not just everything that you say, but the thoughts of your heart. God has them written down. If you're here this morning, you're lost. The very thoughts that are running through your mind right now, the very thing that you're thinking about, whatever, God has a record of that right now. God remembers the thoughts. Your conscience bearing you record this morning. You see, you know if you're lost, you already know if you need to be saved. If you're lost, you already know that what you need to do. You know that God has given you an opportunity to come this morning. Now, the choice will be yours in just a moment. You'll have to make that decision whether you're going to get saved or not saved. But I promise you, your conscience one day will be revealed before you, because God has a record book, a record of words. He has a book of words. He has a book of conscience this morning. No one will stand before God one day and point a finger in the face of a thrice holy God and say, you didn't give me a fair chance. You didn't give me an opportunity. No, I'm telling you, you've got a conscience, and that is not just any kind of a conscience. God gave every man in that conscience, he gave you a measure of faith. And what that means is, God gave you a mind, and he gave you a measure of faith, and where you choose to deposit that faith will be up to you. You can put your faith in yourself and you'll die without God, for self-righteousness will save nobody. You can put your faith in some false god, but it cannot save you. You can put your faith in the world, and it cannot save you. You can put your faith in the devil and sin and good timing, but it will not save you. And I tell you what you could do this morning. You could believe the record of what the Word of God says, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, sinner, you listen to me. God gave you a mind and a conscience this morning, and you can believe this Bible or not believe this Bible, but if you are an unbeliever and you die without God, the book of conscience will witness against you. How about it this morning? As a young boy, I just believed what God said. This morning,
There's a book of words. There's a book of conscience. And then there's a book of secrets. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14 said, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The Bible says, for whosoever shall bring every, or for God shall bring every work into judgment, notice this, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Proverbs 15 and verse 3 said, the eyes of the Lord in every place beholding the evil and the good. Things that are done in secret, sinners like to sin in the dark. Can I get an amen right there? Nighttime has always been their time of going out and going into sinful pleasures and sinful activities, drinking, carousing, partying, living perverted lifestyles. Listen, murder oftentimes, though it can happen any time of the day, but oftentimes it's done in secret and men try to cover it up. And let's be honest, some may have covered it up and they may escape the hand of man in this life, but they will not escape the hand of God, for God has a book of secrets, and God keeps everything, as the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. God will bring every work, the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. There is coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men. This crowd is standing before God. The book of works has been opened. The book of conscience has been opened. The book of words. And then the book of secrets have been opened. It'll all be known on judgment day. Now, when I was a young teenager, I would hear preachers say, and I'm not criticizing this, but they would say, everything you've ever done is going to be plastered for all to see. But I don't see that in the Bible. What I do see in the Bible is this. Is everything that I've ever done has been recorded in a book of words, conscience, and even secrets. God has a record of that. If you're saved, thank God it's under the blood. Amen. And the record, as the songwriter said, is clear today, for he washed my sins away. And I'm glad when I stand before God, he's not going to plaster every sinful thing that I ever did, because it's under the blood. Amen. But you got to remember, this crowd's not saved this morning. The blood has never been applied, friend. And every secret thing that's ever been done has been recorded, and these books are open for all to see. If anyone would stand before this great white throne and say, God, I'm not guilty as charged. The books are laying there. Those books are open to record that every man at this judgment is a sinner. And there is the book of secrets this morning. There's the book of public works. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 14, listen to this, says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man, according to their works. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God has a book of secrets, but God has a book of public works. I'm going to tell you everything that Hitler did in the Holocaust to those Jews. Many have forgotten it. Many have never known about it, but God recorded it down. All 6 million of them that was killed and slaughtered. God has a record of every one of his public works. Hitler is in hell this morning, lost without God. But one day he'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and a book of words and a book of conscience and a book, my friend, of secrets and a book of public works will be open, my friend, for all to know and to hear and to see, and it will determine his place in the lake of fire. There is the book. And then there is the book of all books this morning. I believe there is the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1 said, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ himself represents the words of life, the words of God. The very word that would have saved a man is before man at the great white throne judgment.
the very embodiment of truth itself. You think about it, sinner, the book that I'm preaching out of this morning could save you from hell, but it also could sentence you to the lake of fire to all eternity. This book this morning offers mercy and grace and love and salvation to all that will accept it, but to those that refuse it and those that walk away from it and those that say, well, I don't even believe it, one day this book will be opened at the great white throne judgment as God's eternal library will be open for all to see. You say, well, I don't believe that book. You will on judgment day. I don't accept that book. You will on judgment day. I don't want to hear that book, preacher. You will on judgment day. I'm telling you, my friend, these are the words of life this morning, and you're going to pass from death into eternity one of these days, and if you want eternal life, you need to hear what I'm saying. You need to heed what I'm preaching this morning. Your only hope this morning is to put your hope in the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you don't believe the Bible, you'll surely die without God and go to hell. The fifth book would be the book of all books, and then there is this book. Notice verse 12 with me. There is the book of life. As the Bible says here, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, I think that ought to get our attention this morning because he said the books was open. But he makes a distinction about this book. He said another book was open, which is the book of life. Why would the Bible make that distinction? I think for this reason. Number one, these other books are book records that are being kept to judge this crowd. But this book here is a book that really is the final determination as to whether or not this crowd is going to heaven or going to hell. And of course, or going to the lake of fire. Of course, we know where they're going, but this book will serve as the final proof. It will serve as the final judgment, the final hammer that will determine that they are hopeless before all. Sinner, this morning, you sit here lost without God, but you still have hope. If you will swallow your pride and come out of that pew and come to this old-fashioned altar, you can be saved this morning. But if you walk away from God and step out into eternity, the book of life will prove that you are not saved. Now I want to say two things about this book tonight or this morning. There is the book of life, and there is the Lamb's book of life. The book of life has the names of all of those that have had physical life in it. It is God's book. When a person is born, their name is recorded in the book of life. The Lamb's book of life has the names of all of those, and you'll see in a moment that these books will mirror each other. There's a great question I know about verse number 15, and we'll get to it. But as the book of life is God's book that holds the name of all those that have been physically born, the Lamb's book of life has the names of all those that have been born again spiritually, those that have been saved. If God's book, and you have the Lamb's book this morning. And when you think about these two books this morning, the book of life, Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 8, they're not to be confused. Amen. When we think about Revelation 17 and verse 8, the Bible said, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Notice this, and they that dwell on earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from, notice this, the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. I'm talking about from the foundation of the world. A friend, that's not talking about salvation. That's talking about the physical life. Their name was never recorded in God's book from the foundation of the world. The Lamb's book of life, Revelation 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written, talking about the Antichrist, are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 21 and verse 27, both of these books appear again. The book of life appears here in our text in Revelation 20, but in Revelation 21, the Lamb's book of life will appear again. Verse 27, and said, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, some believe that that the book of life becomes the Lamb's book of life, but I personally don't believe that, and I'll tell you here in just a moment why. But one of those reasons is because the book of life has the name of every individual who has been born. The Lamb's book of life has the name of every individual who has been saved. Your name was recorded in heaven the day you were born. Your name was recorded in heaven a second time if you've been saved the day you were born again. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So it raises a question about verse 15 this morning. Because look at it. The Bible says, and whosoever was not found written, notice this, in the book of life, was cast in the lake of fire. Notice it does not say the Lamb's book, but it says the book of life. You say, preacher, if the book of life contains the names of those that were born physically and the Lamb's book of life has the names of those that were recorded spiritually, then why does it not say the Lamb's book of life? I think it's for this reason. Revelation 3 and verse 5, listen closely to this verse. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. God promises not to blot out the names of the saved out of the book of life, which indicates that God will blot out the names of the unsaved out of the book of life. Those who are here at this judgment this morning in Revelation chapter 20, their name was never in the Lamb's book of life. But according to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, their name was blotted out of the book of life. In eternity, there will be no record of them, none whatsoever. It will be as if they were never even born again. That's why in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, this day we're talking about in Revelation 20, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Now listen to what he says to them. In verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God said, it's as if you were never even born. Your name is not even in the book of life. Their identity is exactly what the Bible calls them. They're lost for all eternity. It is exactly what Daniel said in Daniel 12 and verse 1 when he said, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never, talking about the tribulation, was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Psalm 69:28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Exodus 32 and verse 32, Moses said, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book, as if he was never born, which thou hast written. Verse 33, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. God is talking about blotting people's names out of the book of life as if they never was even born into this life. I want to say this morning, if you're saved, I'm glad we can raise our hand and say our name. It's in the book of life, but thank God it's also in the Lamb's book of life. We're going to be a record in eternity of a physical birth, but there'll be a record, thank God, in eternity of a spiritual birth. Amen. And what happens in verse 15 is that the book of life takes on the same identity as the Lamb's book of life. For these at the great white throne, there is no mention of their name in eternity. Hear me, sinner, if you die without God, you are exactly what the Bible says. You are lost forever. You are lost in eternity. You'll be lost at the great white throne judgment. You'll be lost in the lake of fire. I'm telling you this morning, don't you want to be saved? You don't want to die lost. You'll forever be lost without God. You know why a lot of people don't get saved? Because they don't get lost. You know why John Newton got saved? Because he said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. You talk to people and ask them if they're saved. A lot of people say, oh, I'm saved. Well, what is? Tell me what being saved means. They can't no more tell you that than nothing. Well, if you're saved, what are you saved from? Well, you know, I had this experience. I'm going to tell you something. Salvation ain't based on an experience. Salvation is based on the Word of God. It is the Word of God that showed me as I was a sinner. It was the Word of God that told me I couldn't save myself. It's the Word of God that told me about Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that said He would save me. It's the Word of God that said if you'll trust the Word, you can be saved this morning. I'm not saved because I shed tears and I did. I'm not saved because I went to an altar. Maybe you didn't go to an altar. Maybe you didn't shed tears. But I'm saved this morning because I believe the Bible, and the Bible is in me, and I line up with the Word of God. No, I'm not perfect, but thank God I've been forgiven because I put my faith in the Word of God this morning. Amen. I went to the hospital several years ago to visit a lady. One morning when I got up, the Holy Ghost said, you go right now and visit this lady. And I got up and I went that morning not knowing if I could even get to into the unit she was in was they wasn't letting anybody in to see her. And I was on my way to the hospital. I said, dear God, I knew she wasn't in bad shape. She was not a member of the church. I said, Lord, if I get in, I mean, you told me to go, so you'll have to get me in the hospital to see in this unit to see this woman. And as I went in that morning, she was laying there. She was conscious, but she didn't have long to live. And I asked her, I called her name, I said, the Lord sent me here this morning to tell you that you don't have much time left and that He'll save you this morning if you'll ask Him and you'll trust the Word of God. And the first thing she said to me, she said, she was very feeble, very sick. She said, I'm saved. I said, how do you know you're saved? Tell me about when you got saved. She started telling me some off-the-wall experience thing. I listened to her for a few minutes, and then I said to her, now listen, I don't want to offend you, but I said, that is not what the Bible says being saved is. And I said, you're deceived. And I said, we have to base salvation off what Jesus said, not what we felt or not what we think or not what we believe. And I said, do you want me to tell you? I said, I would love to tell you what Jesus said. And she nodded her head. She said, tell me. And I took her down the Romans road, just a few verses, and shared the gospel with her. And I said, do you believe this? And she said, I do. I said, do you believe you're a sinner? She said, I believe I'm a sinner. I said, do you believe that if you died right now, you would go to hell? And boy, I said, a tear come out of her eyes. She said, I do. She said, I know I'm lost. Or she didn't say lost, she said, I know I'm not saved. And I prayed with that lady, and she got born again. About 2 hours later, she slipped out into eternity. I'm telling you that for this reason this morning. She had a false belief of what being saved was. And I believe there's a lot of people sitting in our churches today. They think, well, I'm okay. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to God. No, you're not. Because the books are going to be open. Well, you know, me and Jesus, we got our own thing. No, you and Jesus don't have your own thing going. I don't care who sings that song. It's not what that book says. Well, I just don't believe you got to go to an altar. Well, if that is what you're going to make an issue with God about, you'll probably have to go to an altar to get saved. Well, I don't believe it the way you believe it, Brother Gravely. That's all right, but I believe it the way that book believes it. And if you don't believe what I told you this morning, I didn't tell you anything of what I thought. I told you what this book said. I know in my heart this morning, there's people here who need to be saved. And I beg you this morning, as we get a song ready, please don't die without God. I've done everything I can do this morning. I've preached the Word of God to you. This church has done everything they can do. They've prayed this week, knocked on doors, passed out John and Romans. And people are praying right now that if you're lost, you'll come and be saved. You know, visitor, you need to get saved this morning if you're lost. Church member, look at me. Church member, if you're lost, you need to get saved this morning. If you got absolutely no desire to live for God, you better be doing some checking up, friend.
Because I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And there are going to be some people, their name is on the church roll, but it's not on heaven's roll. It's not in the book of life. You're going to be left behind. You'll be left behind. Dear Lord, I pray this morning. I pray this morning. Holy Ghost, I can't do anything, but you can do everything. And you can trouble the heart of every soul that's here that's unsaved. I can't make nobody come to this altar. It would do no good if I could. But I pray, Holy Ghost, please put them under conviction. I know you want to save them. Let them see themselves lost. And I pray, dear God, that they would please come on this invitation and be born again. Help them to put their faith in Christ. As we stand.